episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. Click on the donate link.
Oh, good morning, everybody. And this is Verilicious, and you're in the fitting room. And we have a special guest today, and he's all the way from Edinburgh in the UK.
Yeah, as good as East Coast of Scotland, not far from Edinburgh.
Yep. And we have Martha. Hello, Martha.
Hello, Verilicious. How are you?
Good, good. Welcome to the fitting room. And I'm going to say, I'm not going to fit you out in a kilt, I don't think.
I'm not sure I've got the legs for it, so I wouldn't bother with that.
No.
And I'm not Scottish, so I can't wear one, thankfully.
Oh, okay. We could pretend.
Well, you could do it if you want to. Yeah, okay. We'll pretend, but I'm not sure I've got the legs.
No. Well, it's not uncommon to see guys in skirts these days, though, is it?
No, it's perfectly normal nowadays, isn't it? You see more of that in people wearing kilts, so yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe you're right.
Maybe you're right.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so funny. So, Martha, I've met you through Discord. Where did we bump into each other? Was it Fakeologist or was it through Rick and Rollo?
Probably a bit of both. I can't remember now, but it would have been definitely Fakeologist and, Rick and Rollo. Yeah.
Yeah.
One of those.
Yeah.
So
one of those. Probably both. One of those. Yeah. And now truthmeets.com. So we're all here. We're all here having a chat. It's been, what's it been? It's summer for you there, isn't it? We're coming into winter.
We're coming into summer now. So, spring is over, I think. We're into summer. So, as I was saying to you, we've had beautiful weather here the past couple of days. But I know you'll laugh at me saying 20 degrees is baking for us. And it's been lovely. So, can't complain. It's been really nice.
And 20 degrees is freezing for us. We're talking about Celsius. No. So the guys who live here on East Coast Australia know exactly when it's cold, but when it's hot. Yeah.
Mm. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, and we're coming into winter.
Okay. So 25 degrees is probably is a record breaker for us up here. But
scorcher.
We're just happy. Yeah, we're just happy if it's not raining. So we'll take anything if it's dry.
Yeah, that's it. Shirts off, try and get a tan, basically.
Yeah, well, I've had a go. Yeah, I've had a go. So, past couple of days. So, yeah, a little bit pinker than usual. A little bit off white more so than brown. But there you go.
I totally get it. D-Train's originally from Scotland. So, he's been in Australia for a long time. So, if he doesn't get out in that sun, he's going to go white again.
don't doubt it. It'll be washed away. My little colour I have will be washed away in the next couple of days, no doubt. So I'm just going to enjoy it while I can.
That's it. And usually you get hot summers, though. I mean, you have that extreme. I think Europe had an extreme one. Was it not last year, the year before? It was an absolute heat wave. I had a friend in Italy saying that it was reaching up to 50 degrees or something.
Yeah, it can do in Italy, Spain and Cyprus and Greece and places like that. Not so much here. We get the odd day. So, yeah, but anything over 20 degrees now is a danger. As I was saying to someone the other day, it's all, we don't watch the news, do we? But if you catch the weather forecast, it's danger. It's 20 degrees, everyone stay indoors. Everything's red. Yeah, everything's on fire. So it's absolutely crazy. But it's just been great. The past couple of days, we've been in the local pub, just sitting outside and just having a couple of beers. And it's just nice to see everybody out and looking healthy for a change with a bit of colour on them. So it's been really nice.
That's it. And I think they're banging on about just getting vitamin D. I know that's been a big thing for a lot of people. Mm. And I'm thinking, I don't understand how people don't have those levels of vitamin, especially where we live here in Queensland. You're always out in the sun, and we have sun pretty much all the time, except for, this morning I'm probably not even going to see the sunrise. It's overcast, but it'll come out. But the thing is, even if you get a little bit outdoors, it's always beneficial, isn't it?
Oh, of course, yeah. And the sun's, that's why all these mystery schools and ancient religions, worship the sun, isn't it? You've got to get out and get your vitamin D. Don't get it out of a bottle. Get out and get a bit of sun on your back, isn't it?
That's beautiful. That's it.
Yeah.
So, Martha, while we have you today, you actually sent me a podcast to listen to, and it was from the Terrain Theory. And it had, what was the topic? It was Botox, the dangers of Botox.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did you get onto that? How did you get into Terrain Theory and come across these guys?
Well, obviously, 2020, if we cast our mind back to those fabulous years of 2020 and the COVID, I just as an off, I can't say the C word. It just makes me feel sick when I say it. So
that's okay. I'll
say COVID or whatever we call it. But it went through that. And prior to that, I suppose I was a complete normie. You know, I had no idea that any of this stuff existed, or it was germ theory and terrain theory. And I say, like most people, like some people, me especially, I you know, 2020, the pandemic in inverted commas, it just didn't make sense to me. And you go in and out of a few, dare I say, rabbit holes, but you know what I mean. You do some research and stuff. And after a while, I kind of stumbled onto the terrain theory and viruses not existing and germs not causing disease. And then I found some website, some podcasts, one of them being the Terrain one, which I shared with you. I don't listen to it all the time because, you know, I suppose once you've kind of, you gather that information of, you know, the whole terrain versus germ theory and Louis Pasteur and all things like that, you don't need to keep rehashing it or recycling it. But this one caught my attention, the Botox one. So I thought I'd have a listen. It was quite interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, and it's very fitting because Botox is huge, and especially for cosmetic use, and we see a lot of it here. Like, there's a lot of cosmetic enhancement places here. And
yeah, same here. Yeah, same here. That's why I thought. I didn't think of you because of the Botox, but I thought of you. You know, in your line of work, you probably see it. You probably see it quite a lot.
Yes. Yes, I do. And it's rampant. It's just cosmetic surgery. It's just, and enhancements is everywhere, everywhere, everywhere you turn. Like every second shop, it's like the massage, you know, the massage here, massage there. It's, and then the nail salons, it's like they've just popped up. Every second shop, you know, is you can go and get something done, which is, and it's like during your lunch break, you know, just come in. Come in and have something done and you can go out.
Come and have some poison injected into you. Yeah, where have we seen that before? So but people are kind of used to it now, I suppose, aren't they?
Yeah, that's it. And where did it start from as well? So this Gretch Elizabeth, she just talks about her sister getting botulism.
Severe reaction to it because, you know, Botox, the clue's in the name, isn't it? It's toxic botulism. Botox, it's they always tell you, don't they? The words always just got to put two and two together. And she was explaining that her sister had a severe allergic reaction to it and got botulism, which is pretty lethal.
So the thing is, we were looking up because we all just know Botox, right? We go, oh yeah, it's a little bit of poison. We kind of know that it freezes the nerves and all that kind of stuff, but we don't really know where it comes from. But it's actually a neurotoxic protein, which is produced by the bacteria botulinum.
Botulinum.
So here's me trying to speak Latin, basically. So the toxin that they produce from that is the botulinum toxin A, which we know as Botox. And I didn't actually really know how it was produced. Like it was a doctor, what's his name? Dr. Alan Scott. He was the one that came across this, and he actually specialized in eye muscles and their disorders. And he developed this type A Botox, as we're going to call it, and it was to treat strabismes, I think they are. It's like something around the eye muscles and stuff like that. And I thought, okay, fair enough. We're going to have a look between the aesthetic and therapeutic, because there's so many different things that you can do with Botox. But essentially, at the end of the day, we're injecting poison into our system, right? Yeah. So why are we doing this? Like, what's the attraction to it? You know, why are we attracted to so much of this, aesthetic stuff in our life?
Yeah.
You know?
It's crazy question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I suppose there's two strands to it, isn't there? Because you've got as you said, the whole poison thing, you know, it is a very dangerous neurotoxin. Whatever way you're taking it, if you're taking it for medical purposes or you're just taking it just to so your face doesn't move, you know, and you're trying to look 10 years younger. But as you say, it's certainly a thing. I see it a lot of the time, you know, even people of all ages, you know, even to late teenage young girls in their early 20s, and you can see them a mile off, can't you, when you're in the supermarket or you pass them in the street or in the pub. And just to me, it's not a good look, I don't think, personally.
No,
it's just pure vanity, isn't it? Ego.
Yeah,
no.
But what sort of drives, because I always think, you know, what sort of drives this sort of thing? I mean, are we essentially looking for the holy grail of youth? Is that something that we're all looking for, you know? Because there's so many people doing it from such, like you're saying, from a young age. You can see it from a young age. I mean, I'm almost 50, right? I'm basically knocking the door there. And I haven't had any cosmetic enhancements. I'm like my mum, where we just like do all the natural things. And I mean, for me, I still look quite youthful. I mean, I've been told, so I'm just going to go what I've been told. But if I was to compare myself with somebody who's probably a little bit younger than me and they've had all this work done, they essentially look a lot more older. And I think once it wears off, and this is what I think this is the thing that this Gretchen Elizabeth was talking about, because essentially I thought the same, where your body would just absorb it or just get rid of it like it would waste. But apparently the toxin actually stays in your system. And it just, and so your nerves just, well, your body's great. It's a miracle thing. So your nerves will just regrow and all that kind of stuff. But what happens to the rest of it? Like, where does that, you know, so-called waste toxins go? Because it must go somewhere, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you're right. As far as I can understand it, the nerves grow back. So hence why people go back for more and more treatment, because, you know, the body will always repair itself. And then if you are injecting some sort of toxin into your body, it has to come out somewhere, doesn't it? As you were saying, the list of side effects or the list of dis-ease attributed to this poisoning could be anything from palpitations, rashes, anxiety, all sorts, isn't it? So, you know, whatever goes into your body has to come out if it shouldn't be there, as far as I'm concerned. And it doesn't, you know, it's not a nice thing, is it, to be thinking, oh, I'm gonna inject this into myself. And it just makes you wonder why it's almost like a social credit score, isn't it? We talk about the Chinese social credit score, but you know, these people are doing it to themselves, aren't they? Because you have to, you know, I can look younger than you, or I can look, you know, my skin is smoother than you. It's not good, is it? It's not a nice thing. And especially these young girls. Yeah. And it kind of reminds me of a young girl trying to look like an old woman looking like a young girl. You see what I mean? It's not a great look, is it? It's crazy.
No, it definitely is not. And like, if we have a look at some of the celebrities these days, they just look absolutely terrible. And I think this is what we were going through some of the chats, like coming, I was talking about social media through my other show in the Fitting Room, and then Coast to Coast, we're having a little bit of a chat about certain things as well. But when you look at celebrities, they're in our face basically. So it doesn't matter where you turn, right? Where I work, just walking through the line of shops, you know, I'll see Swarovski has, after the break.
There's a break.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too. At truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Well, welcome back. That was a cute little tune. You're in the fitting room with Verilicious and Martha today. It's the 19th of May, 2025. Now, as I was saying, you see the brands that have famous people. So, like, I often walk past Swarovski, and they've got Ariana Grande on there, you know, and she looks really cute and, you know, really perfect in all the gear and all that kind of stuff. But she actually, at the moment, is very, very sick. She has issues as well. Yeah. So, when you think the downside of what's happening with some of these celebrities and what they're promoting, it's not actually healthy at all. And I remember with the smooth skin and don't get wrinkles as you get older, and, you know, both the starting of the cosmetic enhancements was huge because nobody wanted to really do actual surgery, you know what I mean? Because surgery took a long time to recover and all that kind of stuff. So it's like, what's the next best thing? Next best thing would be injecting these, you know, paralyzing things into your face or whatever it is you want to inject. Apparently, I've just found out recently there's other stuff that that's being injected into faces and all that kind of thing and jawlines and stuff like that. And I was like, that's disgusting. A lot of the products might carry, like cosmetic products might carry a little bit of something. You know, there's all these different acids now, for skin resurfacing, taking that top layer off and making this look really great. Now this derma needling, I think it's called, where they get this done and then all the blood rises to the surface and then you look like a burned victim for however long, and then, you know, your skin regenerates and then you start to look youthful. Now, I found out this was promoted, I think, originally by the Kardashians. And now I'm seeing it everywhere, like the ads are everywhere for it. And I was like, ew. I mean, it's bad enough one, but so many little, you know, piercing your skin. Like, yeah, I don't know how that's supposed to be really good for you.
Well, you know, I can't see how these things can sound attractive when you're being told what it is.
That's the thing. It's like, what state of mind are we in, and what's promoting this when we're looking at things like this to promote youth? You know, is it longevity of life? Not really when you think about the toxic, but just the youthfulness, but what's that attraction to keep us young? You know, what is that attraction? Is it something that's built in us that we're supposed to be young forever? Or,
well, what? I don't understand.
I don't know.
I mean, I've never really felt that maybe the messaging is to stay young forever. But it just seemed to, you know, look youthful, isn't it? Look youthful all the time. And maybe it's a thing to attract men. I don't know. I mean, I don't find it attractive, but I see couples and they look like, you know, Ken and Barbie, the two of them.
Yes.
They don't look good. And I suppose it's up to men to turn around and say, I don't actually find that attractive, and we don't want that in our women, you know, or our chosen partners. But
there are some that are like that, which is quite scary that they will put women in there. Because at the end of the day, like, a man can still produce sperm and have kids, right? Especially if the woman's younger. Because as women get to a certain age, we're not going to be able to have children and all that kind of stuff. So it's like the attraction to the younger woman is what exactly? Is it that primal thing of procreation, or has it become something else? you know? So
yeah.
You've sort of, it's for me, things change over time. Like we look at it, it's like people get together, we have children, you know, that's the natural form of the family, and we grow so forth, you know, like kids will have kids, blah, 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 blah. But the way the world's changed these days, and like you said, that period of time that we had really changed the state of mind for a lot of people, also changed our behavior. I also learned recently that certain words are dropping out of the dictionary. You know, there's words that we don't even use anymore. So if we stop using words, what's going to happen? You know, it's like we don't write these days. So very, very little writing, or if we're typing something, we might use the AI now. You know, the AI will fix up our what we want to communicate.
Yeah.
And essentially it will drop words that we're never going to use. And it's crazy to think about that these words will no longer exist. You know, so what happens then to how we speak?
Well, we communicate completely differently if you're not using the words. I mean, you see it all the time, don't you? I mean, you know, people talk in text speak, or they'll send an email in text speak, and it just, I'm a bit of a stickler for proper grammar and English, as much as, not that I'm much of an expert in it, but I can put a full stop in a comma, and I don't write in text speak. But yeah, words are disappearing, and I suppose it's a complete change of system, isn't it? And as you said,
well, I don't text speak either. It's crazy.
No.
I'm always like, what does that mean? Can you explain to me what the initials are? Because I have no idea. By the time I look it up, it's already gone. I'm not interested anymore. You know, I'm not interested in the conversation.
No, you're probably right not to be. But you said it, didn't you? Artificial. It's all artificial. You know, whether it's artificial language, artificial looks, artificial thoughts and opinions. You know, culture creation. It's everything's being sort of ended, isn't it, or just slowly fizzling out, and it's not good. I don't think it's good.
Yeah. So what happens? Does it happen from our looks to the way we speak to to the way we act? Everything has been turned around, hasn't it? It's quite crazy to think about it.
Yeah.
Quite crazy to think about it.
We've had all these reality shows, haven't we? For the last 30 years, Big Brother, and they say the Kardashians and the Osbournes. And I mean, have you seen, what's her name, Osborne? Sharon Osbourne recently. She's looking absolutely...
They look all terrible.
She's a disgusting woman anyway at the best of times, but she looks even worse now. So, but yeah, I mean, you touch on your Ozempic thing. I think she's been on that, hasn't she? I mean, that's another thing, isn't it? I mean, they're talking about in the UK where you can get injections if you're fat. You know, you go to the chemist and you get an injection to make you thin. It's just everything has to be done quickly and easily, doesn't it? You don't want any effort. So I just want to inject me and that's it. I'm a new person.
Yeah, and apparently there's these patches in that as well. But it's like this is not going to work unless you change your lifestyle. I mean, you know, I was just talking recently about me having, I mean, I've gained a bit of hormonal weight, but I've lost it. You know, and it's just the change of life that happens. So you have to make adjustments in your life because you're no longer 20, you're no longer 30, you know, you're no longer sort of 40, you're hitting the next age bracket. And you've got to look at your life. You know, we're still relatively fit. I mean, we still work out, we still do all those kind of things. And there's some things that you're not going to be able to move in your body because hormones play a big part of it. So these are the things we also need to look after. You know, so we need to look after our whole body as well as our mind and our mental state, our emotional state. We need to look at everything as a whole. We can't just look at one thing. You know, it's like, oh, but I've got this belly thing around the middle. You know what? Everybody does. And I've learned over time it's food. Food changes as well. So these are the things we've got to look at. And over time, if we're not used to how it was before, like we obviously have grown up in a time where we were able to, my parents had a garden, we were eating fresh fruit and vegetables and we knew how to eat really well. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what was that little bit of poison we used to have? You know, it was the fluoride. You know, the water. Mum used to always say, "Don't drink that water. Get the water from the, you know, the kettle. And all." We used to have a proper spring water thing, but you don't think about those things because you know your parents are trying to. They really know what's there, and they're trying to direct you somewhere else. But then you get older. And then you're like, life becomes busy. Then you're into like, I'm eating junk food or, you know, I'm drinking too much alcohol. And then it's like, and I'll need to go and train. And maybe, you know, for me, I was like drinking, smoking, partying, but also training. So it's like, hello, you know, where was my diet? Out the window. But then, you know, it comes, you come back, you think about, okay, I really need to do something about my life. So what am I going to do? I'm going to go back and rethink like how I was brought up and what I was eating back then. And then what was good for me back then. It's like, it's got to be still good for me now, you know?
Yeah. If not,
so
if
we
not
all have moments then, like, that's right. Yeah, we all have moments in our life. But that's the good thing about reflection is that when you can think about stuff, and if you have that experience from childhood and if you've been brought up in a way where you can look at natural things and you're aware of the poisons and you're aware of certain things that exist, then you can rethink, hang on a minute, I was taught this, like why have I forgotten it? You know? And we know that, well, we think about like internet's how old? 15 years old? Maybe 20 years old? You know? And we didn't have,
to be in the mainstream consciousness, it's 15, 20 years old, yeah.
Yeah. So,
and you're right, yeah. No, you're 100% correct, I agree. And I was,
you know,
we're near the same age.
Relatively new.
Yeah.
So 20 years.
Yeah.
So just say 20 years. So we would have been in our 20s when we had internet, right? When we were first exposed to internet. And it's just, for us, it's like we've seen the growth of when it went from like that blue, was it the black and green screen, you know, that really, what was it, DOS that we used to use, and all that. And then mobile phones, you were very simple. It was just basically to call. And I remember having, you could, and the greatest thing I thought was perfect was I used to be able to use my mobile phone and direct the calls from the house phone to my mobile. I thought that was fantastic. I thought they can get me while I'm out, you know, and that were the simple things. That was just really simple, like being able to communicate when you're not home. And now it's more than that. You know, we have the cameras, we have recordings, we have everything in one little thing now. So all these separate little things we used to have before, you know, is now in one thing that's with us all the time. And that can't be good for us either when you think about what this thing must radiate and what it must emit. You know, people are like, I couldn't get radiation from this sort of stuff. But we don't know what we're getting it from either.
No. And you have the EMFs and you have the Wi-Fi on 24 hours a day at home. You go into any restaurant or bar or pub now and they have Wi-Fi, don't they? So you don't know. But if, you know, these symptoms could come as simple as having a runny nose or having a sore throat or just not feeling very well. And all of a sudden it's easier to blame a virus, isn't it, in inverted commas, which doesn't exist, hopping from one person to another, than to have a look at yourself and what you're putting into your body and what you're, you know. I work with young people half my age, and I tell you, they're always at the doctors. There's always something wrong with them. I mean, you look at them, what they eat, and drinking energy drinks, you know, two or three cans a day of that or one can a day, and just think the amount of crap you're putting into yourself. But it's not their fault. You know, I'll go to a doctor and I'll get a pill or I'll get a subscription or something or prescription. And that'll fix it and onwards and upwards. And you just think, you're looking at it from the wrong angle a little bit. But you say these things
and then it's like, no, don't go on about it.
Yeah. That's what they want. Everything's a fast fix, quick fix.
Yeah, and exactly. It's like, why are we looking for the quick fixes instead of trying to actually do something for our life? I mean, you think the reality TV shows that we used to have were were actually organic in a sense, because they really brought out people's nature and all that kind of stuff. I was thinking back to, we were just watching a weekender. It's called the Queensland Weekender, and there was a host, a guy on there, and D-Train was like, "Who's that guy?" And I'm like, "I don't know. I'll look him up." And he's an ex-cricketer. He used to play cricket for Australia. And and then I said, "He's been on another show. I've seen him before." And he was on one of the Australian Survivors back in 2016. Or it still was, you know, we really enjoyed the show. It was like, yeah, there was no people acting in there, or, you know, it was it was really quite natural. And I thought, hang on, if we go back and think about the original shows we were looking at, even the game shows, we used to have the dating shows and all that. And I remember one of the girls I went to school with, she was, I can't remember what year I was in. I was probably like year 8 or year 9, and she was already in year she was in the higher years. She would have been about 18. And she had broken up with her boyfriend, and could have, everyone in the school knew. And then we saw her on this dating show, and it was like, oh, you know, and it was like, ooh, we saw you on this dating show. And but it was funny back then, you know what I mean? And everybody thought it was really, it was really, in a sense, innocent, you know, and the way they spoke back then is so different to the way people speak now. It's almost like we've lost our brain cells. Me, sometimes 100%. I'm scared that, you know, my brain cells are slowly deteriorating more and more that we get exposed to all these certain things. It's quite crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, am I gonna be able to fix it with a pill? Am I gonna be able to fix it with an injection? I don't think so. And I think, you know, a lot of these things, we've got to look at how our environment is affecting us, as well as what we're putting into our bodies.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as putting into your body, whether it be food or drink, or as you say, watching TV, watching these programs who are promoting this kind of stuff. You're 100% correct, because you can watch the old TV shows, as you just said, and, you know, people seem normal. Nervous, and, you know, they can't get their lines out because they're just normal people nowadays.
Yeah,
you're on the television for 2 minutes, and you've got a record deal or a book deal, and you're a millionaire. Well, a millionaire.
Exactly.
We're told, probably not, but you know what I mean. And now they all look the same. They just, yeah. I mean, we have the Love Island Australia, whatever, in this over here.
I love your Love Island UK. That I must admit, is one of my favourites. I watched that back in 2018, I think it was. I got a whiff of the Love Island UK. It was, I must admit, it was my favourite show at that time, and I was hooked because at the end there, the couple actually got together. They got married. In real life.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, in real life, right. They were together.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get that now, right?
No.
But just, it's pure entertainment these days. And then, you know, I look at those girls on that show, even the guys, though. I mean, the amount of manscaping that happens, as well as, you know, the women doing all that sort of stuff. Not so much maybe look at me, but what are they trying to get? What kind of deal? Like you're saying, what kind of deal are they trying to get out of it? Yeah. You know, do they want to be, is it their 15 seconds or 15 minutes of fame?
Well,
you know,
you're right.
We all become.
I'm from, 15 seconds now, from 15 minutes to 15 seconds. That's a good point. It's, they'll get it. They know what they're doing. They're of an age where they've been brought up on it, haven't they, since they were young, and they know what to say and how to pose and how to pout. And I mean, to me, I just look at these
crazy.
Careers, I think the girls look like men and the men look like girls. It seems to be a complete, they're not, who knows, but, you know, it's a complete turnaround, isn't it? And it's not even like a feminist thing. It's just reversal almost.
But you remember, like, when we were growing up, you had the girls and the boys. I mean, you had girls that were like real tomboys, you know, they used to run around and be on the BMX bikes and all that kind of stuff. But essentially they grew up, they were women, right? I mean, I was a little bit of a tomboy when I was younger, because I liked doing, how come I can't do that? And mum's like, well, go and do it if you want. You want to climb a tree? You want to build a tree house? Go for it. It's not something your brothers can do. You can do it yourself, you know. But that was just encouraging agenda change, that was encouraging you to be physical, doing something, using your imagination to create stuff, you know, because it was a definitive line of what girls should do and what boys should do. Because in school, we used to have that deportment, like we were taught how to be young girls, you know, the way we walked, the way we talked, the way we had to sit, you know, and even though we had cooking classes, what was it called? Well, we'll find out after the break.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Truthmeets.com. You're in the fitting room with Verilicious and Martha today. And what was I saying about being tomboys?
Tomboys, right. Climbing trees and learning how to be a lady.
So we had cooking classes. What are they called? I've forgotten now.
Home economics. We used to have home economics.
And funny enough, our teacher was named, her name was Mrs. Baker. Do you know what was really funny, I thought, at that time, was a lot of our teachers had names that were in relation to what they taught. It was actually really quite weird. I just thought it was really
Did you have a Mrs. French and a Mrs.
Mrs. All History. That kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Like so much. Their names would be in relation
Baker or
Yeah, and it was like, what? And it was like, you know, Mr. Greenwood would be the one who's teaching you, like, plastics and wood, and you're like, what the hell? Yeah. Like, you know, what's going on here? How do you get your surnames, you know? That could be another topic about where surnames came about.
Yeah, where surnames come from,
it was what they were doing. But, you know, and everybody did it. Like, everybody did the home economics, the girls and guys, you know, everybody did the textiles. I mean, my mum, she was a home economics textiles teacher. And, you know, it was girls and boys in the class. And it was one of those things. They taught you how to do things in your life so you could be self-sufficient instead of relying on someone else. You know, you will learn it. You learn how to cook. You learn how to bake. You learn how to sew something.
How to mend a tire or change a tire.
Exactly. And, you know, even for us girls, it was like we were taught how to do things in plastics and metalwork as well so that we could do stuff for ourselves. I mean, I did I went to TAFE for a little bit after I finished high school. And I wanted to do the electrician's job, and I wired up a granny flat, and all the lights worked and everything worked. And it was such a good moment for me because it was something that I did myself. I didn't rely on someone else, you know, and it was something that I was taught how to do. And, you know, just changing just any little thing that you could fix, you would do it yourself. You wouldn't need to hire someone to do it. And these are the things. It's like we had a lot of apprenticeships back then. I don't know if D-Train might have spoken about him on one of the chats that we've had, but, you know, he was a plumber. I mean, he started at 15 doing an apprenticeship. And, you know, we were taught how to do all these things at a young age. And, you know, these sort of things sort of stick with us as we get older. I mean, some of the things you lose because you don't obviously practice them, but they're just the little things to get you by, you know, and you could use them in your life. But what are they doing now? I can't do anything now. There's people that can't even sew a button. They don't even know what a needle and thread is.
They can't even use a watch and tell the time because they're so used to looking at their phone at the time or setting an alarm.
It's absolutely crazy. It boggles my mind because people like you and I, Martha, who I don't know if you have children or not. I don't have any, but I have my niece who I pretty much raised from baby. And it's like, what are we, if we are parents of our age, what are we teaching our kids? Like, how can we let the outside world influence so much of what they do? You know, it's like, how come we weren't teaching them anything? How can you not teach your child where milk comes from or where vegetables come from. I mean, they don't come from a freezer in the supermarket, you know? They come from an animal. Like, how can you not teach your kid that? It just boggles my mind when a child turns around and goes, "What's that, mummy?" And the mummy goes, "Oh, it's this. Don't worry about it." It's like, hang on, right? Your child doesn't know this. Your child's like 5 years old. Yeah. What's going on in your life?
Well, the parents probably don't. So if the parents don't know, they can't teach their little ones, can they?
It's crazy. And then they blame the teachers for not teaching them anything. Yeah. No. The teaching comes from the parents themselves.
Exactly.
It has to.
Exactly.
It came from my parents, you know.
Yeah. I don't think they learn anything in school now, do they? I mean, I haven't got children, which is sad, but also on the other hand, I just think, God, what are they putting up with? I mean, what are they being told and what are they being shown? And I suppose everything nowadays is just disposable, isn't it? It's just disposable. If it breaks, we'll get a new one. You know, get a new phone every 6 months. I'll get a new face, new lips. I'll get a Botox. I'll take a pill.
Yeah.
I'll get fat and I'll get thin. Everything's easy and disposable. So
exactly. It's super crazy. And then just with my brother, he was just telling me they're doing their own homegrown olive thing. And they've just got an abundance of olives at the moment, and they're pickling and they're doing this and they're doing that. But you know what? His kids play sports. He's one of those dads that coach. Mm. They know how to cook, they know how to clean, they know how to do everything. He says to them, I don't let them get away with anything, because it's like at the end of the day, he said, if anything happens to your mother and I, you got to know how to take charge. He said that to his older son, who's 16. He goes, when you're 18, he goes, mate, you're on your own. Yeah. Mm. He goes, more mum and dad. He goes, mum and dad are here now to teach you how to get on with your life, because that's how I was taught.
Yeah.
And then he's a good dad. And he goes, sometimes I worry about what I do because of what's going on. But he goes, I said, no, that sounds good, because you're actually teaching them things about life. You know, and they're not just stuck on their phones, and they're not just on the computer. They have their time. He's limited their time. He goes, they have one phone, which the kids get to have, and then they get their time if they want it. If not, they've got the laptop, which they get their time on it. And he goes, they're timed on it, even at teenage stage, they're timed on it.
Sounds good.
And he goes, things don't get done. He goes, it gets taken away, and you can sort it out yourself, mate. You can figure out how to do it. You can get to school on your own. You can get to your practice on your own. You can come home and you can cook your own dinner. You know, it's like, whoa.
It sounds very sensible.
You know, and he goes, I know it sounds tough, but he goes, they've got to toughen up. He goes, we had to toughen up. We had to toughen up as kids there. I said, yeah, I know. I left home at 17. Like, I was living on my own. I was putting myself through uni. I was working a couple of jobs. We were all the same. You know, we were all that same at that age. Not saying that we weren't, like, we didn't have communication with our parents and stuff like that. But our parents were like, you want to go and make a living on your own? You want to go and see what it's like to go and pay your own bills? Go for it.
Yeah.
You know, but they were always there. Like, they weren't going to say, you can't come back home to live, you know, or you can't, we're going to help you. If you want to travel, we'll help you to travel and blah, blah, blah. But what they were just was making a point that you could do it yourself. You could do this on your own, you know, and we want you to learn how to do this by yourself, because you're going to be by yourself. No one is going to be there to pick you up and help you every single time. You know, there's no crutch, for example. You have to be your own crutch. You have to create your own crutch. If not, what's going to happen then? You're just going to fall away and die, you know? Do you remember the time when they turned Facebook off or whatever it was? I can't remember. And people were actually trying to message on Facebook to say that Facebook was no longer up or something like that. I was like, you know, and you get people like absolutely going insane and having anxiety because they could not get on the social media. It was like, are you serious? That is absolutely crazy.
Yeah, I don't do social media or anything like that. I've never had a Facebook. Got an Instagram account, but again, I don't use that. So, yeah, I mean, Yeah, people live their lives through it, don't they? Through Facebook, which is why it was invented, wasn't it? I mean, that's why it was invented.
Well, that's the idea, isn't it? Facebook. Yeah. It's like, well, why can't I see you in real life? Like, why do I have to see you on a thing? I mean, to me, you know what Facebook used to be? Facebook used to be, you know, our end of year when in school where we used to get the end of year magazine with all our faces on there, you know?
Yeah.
And then you see, like, someone you don't like and you used to, like, cross them off or write or draw devil horns or draw, you know, you're laughing, you know, put a mustache on them or something. That was our social media. That was how we deleted people from our lives, you know, and I laugh at that because it's absolutely hilarious because it's so true.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's this Facebook thing is again, something dangerous, isn't it? Which is why it was invented, just to capture people and capture information, isn't it? And people are, you know, they're living in a metaverse, aren't they? Just online, where they're taking pictures of selfies of themselves every 5 minutes and posting it. And when I was on holiday last year, I like to people watch. We're sitting in a bar. If we go out, we never take our phones with us. We sit there chatting to each other, and I see people sitting at tables, miserable looking. So you're away on holiday, you know, it's a beautiful country wherever you are. They look miserable until they take a picture of themselves and they're smiling and laughing, and then that goes on Facebook. What a wonderful time I'm having. You think, no, you're not. You're not at all. Yep. It's all fake. It's all fake, which is a shame. But
yeah, and I see that all the time because I'll be out there taking a picture of the sunrise and I'm on the beach. It's beautiful. And people are walking on their phones having conversations, really loud conversations, and you're like, are you serious? Can you see what's happening right now? Like, are you actually aware of what's going on here? Like, that's crazy. Just turn it off. Yeah. Turn off your phone. Yeah. Unplug.
Switch your phone off. Switch the news off. Switch your television off. Sit out in the garden and just get some fresh air and be around nature and just enjoy stuff. Don't, you know, in real, something that's real, tangible, not a picture online or a selfie or, you know, fake celebrities on fake programs. You feel a lot better for it, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it was really funny because I was listening to a friend of ours and he was saying, do you remember, like, when we used to take photos, if we were to take a photo of our breakfast or if we would take a photo of ourselves when we were out partying or something, we would have to take that roll of film to get developed and then it would come back. So it would be about a week, you know, before you would – you would go, hey, look at our night out from the other night, you know. It wasn't instantaneous. And by then we would have had, like, several nights out and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, these days it's just, like, showing you this and that. But it's like, yeah, where's the reality of it all? And the other thing that people struggle with is meeting other people, like real people, and really connecting with them. Like you said, like, you go to the pub. We love going out to the – just the beach, the surf club, just our local, anything local here. And just, you know, people talk to each other. It's g'day, how you going? You know, just a little chit chat, but it's real.
Yeah.
We're real, you know. Yeah. We're not just talking to someone we don't even know. We don't even know if they're a real person half the time. Exactly. And connecting with real people. You know, we have a lot of social functions here, which is fantastic. Like, just having the blues festival here where people are just connecting with one another you've never met before, and it's like, hey, are you enjoying this, blah blah blah, and just starting conversations with people. Who does that? No one does that. No one can even start a conversation half the time.
No, half the time we can't even talk. That's a lucky thing where we are, like I said, same as you. We've been in the pub this past couple of days and we've been chatting to everybody. We're fairly local. I mean, it's literally 50 yards down the road from us, the pub, but you know, you get chatting to people and the sun was out and it was just really nice. Nobody was indoors watching the television inside the pub. You know, it was all just sitting in the sun and just having a good crack and just having a laugh and meeting each other. And that's the way it should be, shouldn't it?
And meeting new people from everywhere, wherever it is, you know.
Yeah.
And I find that even if I'm at work sometimes, it's really difficult just to even say hello to people because they're just all like, and it's like, okay. Whatever.
Yeah.
You're obviously not from Queensland. We know.
Yeah.
You know the people that aren't from here.
I mean, we go back to 2020 and COVID and all that. That's why they locked everybody up and closed all the pubs, because people go to the pub and they talk to each other, don't they?
That's right. But talking to each other was no good back then. you know. And yeah, this is where we have these issues, you know, where we have these disorders and these issues. But it's absolutely crazy. But I like how this. Yeah. So I'm just going to go back. Let's have a look at this Botoxing again. This Gretchen Elizabeth, though.
Yeah.
When she was talking about her sister, how is it that her father was actually some sort of doctor? Their father,
microbiologist, I think.
Yeah, and he was saying to stay away from anything that has neurotoxicity. Da 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 da. Boom. Sister straight away fell for the wrinkles.
Her other sister, the lady doing the, her name's gone out of my head. Because she said, didn't she? She was going to get it done as well. Because she had the conversation with her sister, and all of a sudden, her sister went on a lunch hour and got it done, and she's never been the same since.
Yeah, that's right. And she had a couple of kids, and then Gretchen Elizabeth is a sister, and she had she's the one who's the advocate for this. So it's like you know it's a trauma. So she's seen her sister go through what we call maybe a PTSD sort of thing, post traumatic stress, because of botulism, and she's jumped on this bandwagon where I've got to get out there. This is bad. This is bad. This is bad. In a sense. We understand, like we get it. When anything that says toxin, anything that has poison, you look at some of the labels of the things that we purchase even from the supermarket.
Yeah.
But look, there's always a poison label, you know. Use with caution. Seek medical advice, even for laundry liquid and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. But she was, she became a full advocate trying to find out every single thing of what was happening with this neurotoxin, and I just thought, wow, how is this thing? How can you actually get botulism, right? Aside from having it injected into you, but where does it come from? But I was looking up, having a look at this the bacteria, and apparently it's a common bacteria that can only thrive where they're conditions where there's no oxygen. And I was like, what? So that means certain food sources, so your canned foods,
that's probably one example, they provide
the potent, they call the potent, not the perfect, the potent breeding ground for this kind of bacteria. Transmitting through food contacted with contaminated soil or through open wound. Yeah, so open we know wounds, that, yeah, so yeah, open wounds, saliva, all that kind of stuff. I was like, yuck. So it's amazing, like, we have bacteria and germs and all that kind of stuff that, and I think Abe and Beachy and I were talking about parasites, but there's certain things that there's good and bad in everything, but they obviously have a certain function. So an overgrowth of a bacteria or a germ, that's there's something wrong with that. Something's touched it to make it like that, right? So it's like there's always going to be a balance. Like nature will find a balance and how it's supposed to, how everything is supposed to work. But when there's an imbalance, this is what happens. This is where the contamination, the toxicity happens. And guess what? People that want to find certain things will find out what the overgrowth and the toxicity can do. It's not always a good thing. Right?
No.
So we can look at, say, we know that mold comes essentially, penicillin essentially comes from mold. So we know that, yes, okay, there's some good and bad things when it comes to sort of things like that. But if you were to eat something with mold, would it essentially make you, like, give you life-threatening disease? I mean, not really. Your body would go, ooh, yuck, maybe there's something in you you'd vomit it out or whatever, you'd get it out somehow, and your body could deal with it because it's a natural thing. But when it comes in a form where it's put right into your system, where it affects your bloodstream, is where the issues start to happen.
Yeah, if it gets into your bloodstream, you know, that's the dangerous thing, isn't it? That's why, you know, poisonous snakes have fangs, so it goes into your bloodstream. You know, you can drink snake poison, because your stomach acid will probably break it down and flush it out. But anything that goes into your bloodstream is not good. That's where the disease comes from, isn't it? And the toxicity. But you know, I suppose there's millions of people who have taken Botox, and you know, they're not dropping down dead, are they?
I'm kind of
skeptical of these sort of things. You know, this is a ticking time bomb and things like that. Yes, it's not good, full of reasons that we've spoke about. You know, if only for from a social point of view and a health point of view, it's not good. But after the break.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Oh, we're back. That was a quick ad. Yeah, so continue what you were saying, Martha.
So so there's millions of people who are having this done, and they're not dropping down dead, are they? They're not sick, they're not getting botulism. But it only takes one. I mean, how do you know? I mean, you know, the people injecting people are who are they? They're not doctors, are they? They've got no medical training.
Some of them essentially are like nurses in quotation marks, I was going to say. So
yeah. They're glorified hairdressers, don't they? Really, and they're going. One false move, and you're done for. But yeah, I mean, you know, me being me, I get skeptical about these sort of podcasts. It's good information, you know, but it's people aren't dropping down like flies, are they? Or getting sick? But
no, that's it.
Prior to this, I did wonder when you look at some of these people, you think, you know, where was that stuff in your face going to? You know, where will it end up? How old will you be when it comes out? You know, is that you for life now, or do you have to keep improving on it?
Where does it go? And that's the thing, though, when you have a look at where some of this neurotoxin goes, right? You have a look at some people that smile when they have it. They don't have the wrinkles around the eyes. They don't have the wrinkle around the noses and stuff like that. But then they have this smooth bit, and then they get the, I call it feline, you know, the cat, like the cat, when they try and smile, they have that really weird feline look. I don't know if you've seen it. That's what I think anyway. But
I think it's just over a period of time start to break, because like putting it in your cheek, eye, stuff like that, you know, it's going to start changing everything, because your nerves sort of worrying around that. I mean, it's obviously going to start changing your structure.
The nerves will
go back. Yeah, can't be able to speak. So it's like, how's your body's obviously dealing with it in a way. Like, you know, it is giving you a jawline. When you smile, you know, your wrinkle isn't there where you're in your forehead anymore, but it's wrinkling like around your nose.
Yeah.
The nose area there, and it kind of looks a bit weird, you know.
It's a sign of a happy life, I think. If you've got lines, it means you've enjoyed life.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too, because apparently Rachel Lisbeth is also talking about, like, maybe there was some natural remedies in regards to it. She's talking about things like celery juice or something else. So, you know, there, like I said, there's got to be a balance. So you've got to be able to find a way of balancing things out. But if we've been putting things in us for a very long time, some damage there. But I thought this might be a bit funny, because the boys mentioned after the shared doctor about Scrotox. Did you laugh about that?
Yeah, well, it kind of made me wince a little bit when I heard it.
And I was Botox
and the Bolox. It's not nice, is it?
Yeah.
So, why would you want to do that? It's just ridiculous.
I know. Well, I tell you what, I was looking up because I thought, is this even real, or are they just joshing? Are they just having a play, you know? And I thought, it's a real thing. It's a real thing. Same thing, like Botox, regardless, whatever your name is. So I found this blog. It's by Dr. Boyd. It's Dr. Boyd's blog. And he was talking about taking manscaping to a new level. The Botox injected into the to decrease sweating, reduce wrinkles, and obviously make your look a bit bigger. And I was like, I was laughing. I was laughing so much, I was crying. And just like, it's like, this is the key level. I mean, I thought, you know, us women were crazy for, you know, cosmetic, but like, there's guys as well.
Oh, I think the men are worse now, I think.
Yeah,
I won't be doing that. Before you ask, I will not be doing that at all. I'll stay natural.
I'll tell you what, I've heard some absolute shockers about certain things, and I'm like, nope, that's not going to happen. I don't think so. I think I would like to be as natural as possible. Thanks.
Yeah.
If it means right now I'm getting a couple of grey hairs and I've got a couple of wrinkles here and there, it does not matter at all.
No.
You know?
Oh, I'm past that stage. There's no going back now, so I don't really care.
Yeah. It's like, well, you know what? You can't reverse time. And that's the thing at the end of the day. You can't reverse time. I mean, I look at myself and I think, wow, you know, some days I'm like, I can't. I'm aging. You know, that's the process. Mm. My mind is sometimes back somewhere else where it's like, well, I still feel and I still know certain things, but when I look at the mirror, it's completely different. Like, it's, you know, I'm looking at it, my mind and my face don't sort of match, sort of thing. But I think, in a way, if you are in that mindset, you keeping yourself positive and keeping yourself in a relatively healthy state is pretty good. So for me, I was like, yep, you know, the whole Botox thing, I've seen it. I don't know
where it's going to end up. You know, I haven't, you know, I'll see them in a few years, and if they're still getting it done.
Yeah, we'll be seeing them in a few years time and just thinking, yeah, you still look the same, you still don't look good.
That's it.
Asking why did you do it?
Yeah, but the end of the day, though, this is what we're whether you want to, whether it's aesthetic or therapeutic, you know, really you just got to look into it more. Don't just follow the crowd. You know, if it's something that you really need to do, really look into that information. But yeah.
Yes. Do your due diligence and work it out for yourself. Just don't be a sheep. Just don't do it.
I'm not going to say a black sheep. Anyway, so Martha, thank you for coming on the Fitting Group.
Thank you.
It's so good speaking to you. And you know what? Martha is not going to wear a filter, and he's not going to be on that story box right either. So he's going to be as natural as possible. Find you somewhere in Edinburgh, at a pub, having a beer.
Yeah, I'll be there. Don't worry about that.
He's up for a pair of t shirts and
yeah.
So thanks everybody for listening in today, and Martha,
thanks for your time. Yeah,
thank you for jumping on board. I know it's late for you and it's early for me, but until next time, everybody, we'll catch you in the Fitting Room. Don't forget our other shows, Coast to Coast, Beachy and myself have Rick and Rollo, and also Esoteric, that does talk show. We have a few shows on truthmeets.com. Jump on our website and have a look. And I hope to see you guys, maybe talk to you guys next time around. See you soon.
Yeah. Right. Thank you very much. Thanks, everybody. Cheers. Thank you. Bye-bye.